thank God for their answered prayer. Don't forget to thank him when he answers yours. Seek and you shall find, says the Lord. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be opened to you. I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read today at Mass. You can reach on 734-930-3257. And remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm your host, Sandra McDevitt. Today, a young altar boy wonders where incense comes from. Is it from where his grandpa told him? Also, a little bit about Pope Pius XII, known as the Pope of Altar Boys. Told me the story, so it had to be true. Grandpa's stories always were, or so I thought as a six-year-old in 1950. Odd though, Sister Mary Andre, the first grade teacher, had smiled and I am sure suppressed an unsister-like giggle when I asked her during catechism class. Maybe that was because she was young, and every first grader instinctively knew that you didn't become a real nun until you were old, like Sister St. William, the principal. I could always ask her, but somehow couldn't quite muster the courage. No, not since the day she had caught me hiding in the hedge instead of coming into class late. That was when I had instantly developed a healthy respect for both Sister St. William and the prudence of maintaining dry trousers under stressful circumstances. Morning recess was spent in deep theological debate with fellow first graders. Even equal distribution of my prized Krispy Crunch bar had not stimulated young minds into providing a profound answer to the question. Frustrated with this result, I did what most six-year-olds would have done, simply forgot about the question. It wasn't until 2 years later that I was reminded of it again. We had changed parishes by then, and I was now an altar boy serving under the direction of a no-nonsense Monsignor who was noted for quickly rebuking any boy lacking in his responses to the Latin Rite. As an acolyte, I held my candle steady at a Requiem High Mass, its dripping beeswax mingling with an odor that brought back Grandpa's story. Later, while changing clothes in the sacristy, I resolved with great determination to finally find an answer to the question. The Monsignor was an ideal candidate. He was old, and with age came wisdom. He was a Monsignor, and that was close to a bishop. The crimson piping on his cassock and beretta clearly indicated papal authority to me. Yes, the Monsignor would do nicely. My resolve was, however, tethered by an ingrained fear of the old priest. No one had ever seen the man smile. No, not ever. His contempt for altar boys was legendary. His thundering, fiery Sunday sermons were capable of scaring even the most hardened sinner into repentance, not to mention a healthy donation for the collection basket. Perhaps it would make a difference if I could get him to like me. Weeks were spent practicing my Latin responses. That are perfect and committed to memory, I could now recite them without prompting from altar cards. I approached the young curate responsible for scheduling with my request. Was it possible to serve at Monsignor's daily 6 o'clock Mass, I asked. The look on the man's face was incredible. A novena had just been answered. Here was a boy actually volunteering for Monsignor. Perhaps it was a penance, but no matter. He quickly entered my name on the roster. Mom couldn't understand my newfound devotion, but she faithfully awakened me at 5 o'clock each morning. The 20-minute walk to the church was long and hard during those cold winter months. The procedure never changed. Slip into cassock and surplice, light the candles, fill the cruets with wine and water. Monsignor always arrived 10 minutes before 6 and wordlessly dressed into the vestments of the day. His Mass was said in the presence of a small handful of hardy parishioners who faithfully attended despite miserable weather. Never a word was said, but I was occasionally granted a grunt or a nod of appreciation. After many months of association with Monsignor, the moment had finally come. This was the day I would ask my question and receive a dogmatic reply. I purposely arrived at the sacristy early and fought the strong temptation to bolster my courage with an illicit sip of sacramental wine. I dreaded the thought of what I would soon do. The old priest arrived and seemed to be in a particularly foul mood, or was it just my imagination? The Mass that morning ended all too quickly, and as I led the way from the sanctuary to the sacristy, I began to have second thoughts. Monsignor busied himself with the chalice and paten, while I dutifully washed the cruets. Finally, calling upon all my strength, I blurted out his name, Monsignor! The word seemed to reverberate off the walls as the old man slowly turned and locked my youthful face in his gaze. What is it, boy? He asked gruffly, his stern face not displaying any hint of encouragement. My jaw was moving, but the words failed to come out. Well, boy, I'm waiting, he growled. Monsignor, I stammered. Out with it, boy. Well, Monsignor, it's the toenails, I finally said. Toenails? What are you talking about, boy? The devil's toenails, Monsignor. Is it true we put them in the incense burner at High Mass? I asked. Although that was over 42 years ago, I can still hear the old priest's resounding laughter. It filled the confines of the small sacristy, spilling over and echoing the church itself. He laughed so hard, the color of his face matched the scarlet piping on his cassock. I was invited to have breakfast with Monsignor that morning at the rectory. Judging by the stolen glances of the other altar boys arriving for later masses, I became convinced I had committed the worst heresy. Surely severe penance awaited me, and not breakfast. But such was not to be the case. Monsignor was absolutely delighted, and not at all the severe taskmaster that he appeared. Punctuated by pauses for mouthfuls of toast and scrambled eggs, he patiently explained that as far as he knew, the church burned incense and not the devil's toenails. Grandpa's tale of the devil losing a toenail each time he lost the struggle for his soul with angels, gathering them up to be burned as incense, was probably just a story. But come to think of it, Monsignor said, he really couldn't remember his parish ever having to buy incense. To this day, the lingering odor of incense in a church invokes fond memories of Grandpa, Monsignor, and the devil's toenails. Perhaps the story is true. Possibly every time we avoid the occasion of sin and a soul slips from the devil's clutches, a toenail is indeed lost. Is it not a pleasant thought to think of the devil hobbling around with extremely sore feet? Pope of Altar Boys. Pope Pius XII was known all over the world as a great man. He was known as an outstanding statesman, as a leader in bringing peace to the world, and also a very saintly man. There is still another title for the Holy Father. Pope Pius XII has been called the Pope of Altar Boys. Of course, Pope Pius XII, like almost every other pope, served Mass when he was a boy. All the churches in Europe, and many in this country, have big registers in which the altar boys sign their names after each Mass they serve. This is done to keep an accurate record of the number of times an altar boy serves Mass. In the sacristy of the church called Chiesa Nuova di Santa Maria in Rome, there is an old register containing hundreds of signatures of Mass servers. If you look back in the pages of the late 1800s, you will find the name of Eugenio Pacelli autographed many times. Of course, he became Pope Pius XII. This is not, however, the real reason why Pope Pius XII is called the Pope of Altar Boys. In 1947, he wrote a long letter to all the bishops and priests throughout the world. This letter, which is called in Latin Mediator Dei, deals with the correct and worthy performance of divine worship, especially the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The Holy Father discussed many different points in this letter, but he stressed in a special way altar boys. The Holy Father, who was so busy trying to direct the church all over the world, took time out to think about altar boys. The Pope said that altar boys should be selected with great care. They should be the finest boys of the parish, for only boys of good character should be chosen. The Holy Father said also that only those boys who were generous in giving up their time and who were willing to serve at any time without counting the cost should be selected as altar boys. However, the Pope made this point clear. It makes no difference whether a boy is rich or poor, black or white, or any other color. The important thing is that boys who are good at heart, willing to learn, and well-behaved should be chosen to serve. That is what the Holy Father said about altar boys. He then gave this reason for saying that altar boys should be the best boys of the parish. From them, he said, come the priests of tomorrow. It is because of this part of the great encyclical letter, Pope Pius XII is known as the Pope of Altar Boys. He wanted all altar boys to serve perfect and exactly. He wanted them to behave not only while in the sanctuary and in the sacristy, but also on the streets and wherever else they may be. The Holy Father was once very much the same as ordinary other boys. He knew how careless and carefree a boy can be, because he made a confession of his own days as an altar boy. Sometimes when he had finished serving, he would unbutton his cassock in a hurry and throw it in a heap on the table and rush out to play. How do we know this? Well, one day, after he was made cardinal, the Holy Father visited his old parish church. When he came into the sacristy, he looked over at a table in the corner and smiled and said, "Well, that's where I used to toss my surplice and cassock in a heap." Don't you think that after writing this letter in 1947, Pope Pius XII has every right to be called the Pope of Altar Boys? Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Where Does Incense Come From? Was written by Michael Tevens and published in Canadian Messenger. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. To reach me, email sandra@avemariaradio.net. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.